You ask, Dirt and Sprague answer.
Yeah.
This is the Mail Sack.
Mail Sack time.
Mail Sack.
Brought to you by Sparta TRT.
This is Sparta!
Committed to safe, simple, straightforward testosterone replacement and male performance therapy. Go to SpartaTRT.com for more.
Mail Sack.
Hey, that's right. It's Mail Sack time. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan. 1080 AM, The Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. You know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do during this segment?
Squeeze them damn things. Make sure you got two.
Make sure you got two.
We will, and it's important.
Yes.
But.
Oh.
Big breaking news.
What do we got?
We only have one foursome left for the Fan Golf
Classic. We got one sold this morning.
Got one sold.
Suck on that. Look at us.
Here we go.
Business is a booming.
Let's go.
Shout out the Hoggies.
We love our Hoggies out there. Go buy the there's only one left.
Only
if you want
left.
If you've been on
That's
the
it.
Fence, this is it. Last one sells. If you don't get on it, you ain't playing. Then you can't come drink bourbon with us on the sixth hole, okay? So come hang out. It's going to be a great time. One more foursome, 1051thefan.com is where you can find all the details. Let's get to the mail sack, shall we? You guys ready to sack it up?
Let's go!
Brought to you by Sparta TRT, as always. Whether you're hitting the gym or just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge and win at the second half of life at SpartaTRT.com. Let me scroll down on my show sheet and see the questions that were sent in. This is a leftover from last week.
Okay.
So the math will be off. We can do it together. I guess it'd be 212. We didn't get to this one last week. In the spirit of Christmas, he said being 219 days away.
Hmm.
Now it's 212 days away. What is the greatest sports Christmas or birthday gift that you've ever received? Equipment, tickets, jersey, etc.
Mm.
Is there one that stands out above the rest? I was a super sucker when I was a kid for the little kid football uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
That came with like the little plastic shoulder pads.
The non-real.
But
yeah.
For like an 8-year-old, it was super real.
Mm-hmm.
Playing football in my backyard. I had a Seahawk one, a Cowboy one, a Niner one, a Steeler one. Like every year I asked for a new jersey. And I play as a different team in my backyard.
Yeah.
Those ones will always stand out to me.
That's a pretty good one. I just loved the helmet more than anything else.
Oh, that's all that really matters.
Because the helmet
the jersey
looked
was
real.
A knockoff.
Yeah,
yeah,
the jersey wasn't good.
Eventually you end up just wearing the helmet with a real jersey. You get like a like you got a Niner jersey, you put it on, something like that.
This is a tough one because I had on one Christmas, I got my first Blazer tickets.
Ooh,
but it was through like different, like one gift would be tissue paper. You know what I mean? Yep. Another, eventually it was a Dairy Queen Blazer cup with Clyde on it. It was like
so it's
little
kind of a,
build up signs. Like, can you figure out what the gift is? And I was like, why do I have tissues? And then
it's a little trail to get there.
Somebody explained to me what sitting in the 300 section is called. It's the nosebleeds. So that was one gift.
Nobody punched you in the nose to make your nose bleed, did they?
No. The other one would be, and this one's tough for me because the first game is hard to beat, but I think I'm overall going to tell you the signed Jerry Rice photo.
That's solid. Who got you that?
My mom.
Mom got you that one?
Yeah, that was a...
We talking like, how old were you? Do you remember?
I might have been 11.
11, yeah.
Like right in a sweet spot of age where I watched Rice for a few years. He's my hero. He's my GOAT sports athlete of my life. And to get a signed autographed photo of that was pretty awesome.
Do you remember do you still have it?
Oh yeah, I mean,
yeah, you have to keep that.
I have a
What's
signed...
the photo of? Is it like him with the two arms up touchdown? Him making a catch, you remember?
No, it's him kind of mid-route, but he looks
chopping
fine.
Chopping it up, yeah.
Kind of chopping it up, and he's got his signature on it. I got him, and I got Joe. The Joe one is where Joe is putting he's posing, but he's got the rings on the fingers up next to the face.
That's a good one.
So that one's more like a cover photo shoot for a magazine of some sort. I got signed Joe and signed Jerry.
That's solid. I got a few more of the magazine ones I got to get frames for. I don't have enough frames for. I've hung three magazines. I was going through some of my stuff this week, and I got a Walton signed Sports Illustrated that our buddy Steve gave us years ago.
Yeah.
Which, like, him, like,
that's pretty sweet.
I need to get, like, why do I not have that in a frame yet? I need to get some more magazine frames. Swag, do you remember your best sports gift?
Oh, it was clearly, I was 7 or 8 and got tickets to my first Blazer game.
So that was a gift for you, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember the game? Do you remember the details of it?
It was, I sat in the upper section of old VMC.
Mm.
It was the Nuggets. Dan Issel was there leading the Nuggets. And but the Blazers won. It was like 114-108 or something like that.
Came away a bigger fan than ever, probably.
Yeah, mine was the Rockets with Akeem.
I don't remember my first game.
Yeah.
I don't remember the opponent. My parents used to have season tickets, but we'd go like it was like a it wasn't the full season, and they were way up at the top. But I don't remember my first game.
You know, coincidentally, the only thing I have framed autograph-wise, because Rice is in a like a plastic casing of it. It's not just an exposed photo.
Right.
The only real thing I've framed myself is coincidentally a Kevin Durant Slam magazine of him in a Texas uniform when he's about to be the one or two pick. I got that signed because I went and saw him at the practice facility when he came for a workout.
That's a pretty cool one to have right there.
That was a cool one until he did the Warrior thing, and now I'm kind of like, I will treasure this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've wanted, so my nephew's getting super into trading cards, and so now every, like, Christmas and birthdays are so easy. You can just buy him a box of cards, and he's thrilled. And now he's to the age where he wants to bring his cards over and, like, let's look over our cards together and then, like, offer trades. And I, you know, I give them some sweetheart deals. You know, they don't mean quite as much to me. They don't matter. But it was hilarious. So the app that you can track, like, there's an app where you can scan the card. Now, obviously, the grade and all that is impacted by it. I was shocked at a couple of them that I had that were worth way. I had more value in my box of cards than I imagined. Now, I gave him, like, I had a Kobe rookie that I gave him a trade for. I think he traded me, like, a Bo Nix. I was like, yeah, we'll do that trade. That's fine, buddy.
A Kobe rookie for a Bo Nix?
But I do, in my card collection, I discovered that I have a LeBron James rookie card that's worth hundreds of dollars.
Like, you've checked it out online?
I checked it out online.
Now, what I don't know what the grade.
It looks like it's solid. It's got a grade out. I don't know if it's a 10, 9, you know,
all that. You'd be shocked how they find that. Oh, it's a 7.
They'll find a way to knock it down. But I was like, dude, I don't even remember having this card.
Interesting.
It was just in a box. But I've always thought about a cool frame would be to take some of your favorite cards and put them into a frame. Like, get one and then put, like, a dozen, however many you want in there in hard plastic. I've always wanted to do that, too, to frame and put in the man cave.
Yeah, my mom bought at a garage sale, and I think a lot of people actually ended up having this. It's a framed of the early 90s Blazers team.
Yeah.
But it's individual cards. So, like, Danny Ainge is on there, Kersey, Buck, Clyde,
getting that whole team in one frame would be cool.
Well, now you can't get it because Duckworth is on there. Kersey is on there.
Oh, yeah.
Some of those guys have passed over, unfortunately, and, like, getting all of those signed is pretty sweet, but
pretty badass.
I don't think I'll be able to get it done.
Mail sack question. Need you guys to settle something for myself and my girlfriend. That's what we're here for.
Let's go!
We are house/dog sitters, and when we go on walks, I let the dogs go to the bathroom on people's front yard. And, of course, I pick up when they go poop. She is shocked by this and thinks that I should only let the dogs go to the bathroom on the strip of grass between the street and the sidewalk. When it goes to street, grass strip, it got cut off there. Please give me your opinions.
Okay, look.
She's right.
She is right. we've actually had this conversation.
We've had this
on
debate many a times on the show.
I'm actually dealing with this very problem in my life. The front of our front yard is, it's more habitat than it is grass. I abandoned grass. It was too patchy. I couldn't get it to grow. So I said, you know what, the hell with this. I yanked it out, put some pollinators, made a path, made it like more that. I have a plant that's not literally right next to the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. It's about 3.5 to 4 feet off the sidewalk.
Okay.
We've noticed it's starting to die.
Ah, dogs are peeing on it.
We have multiple people that let their dogs go into yards and piss, and it's pissing on that plant, and it's pissing me off. And I'm somebody that believes, like, I would rather you piss on the sidewalk grass than somebody else. You're going to kill their patch of grass.
Yeah, yeah. For some people, the grass is just as meaningful. You know, grass is grass. So if there's a hole in the grass here or there, it's, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a hole either
but
way.
But it's a plant I spent
$15
it's an expensive on. Plant. You've just killed it with your urine.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset you couldn't yank your dog off to go piss somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yank him.
Yank your dog off.
Yank him hard off my lawn.
Yank your dog off my lawn.
And don't let him do that to my plant. He's killed my plant. That's the second plant that's been killed, by the way, by walking dogs.
Swaggy, you were the same philosophy as a dog owner?
Yes.
You just did not let him ever go in the lawn? But the grass strip's okay. So parking strip's
okay?
Yeah, that
grass strip. You know,
who takes pride in that grass strip? That's barely legally yours.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it is legally yours.
It's my grass. It's just a buffer
so the sidewalk is offset enough from the road.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't have grass there, though. Like, a lot of people put rocks in those parts, so put bark dust in there. Some people put garden beds in there.
In our condo complex, there's a lot of different green space. There's some areas that are kind of designated. Obviously, there's signs up, you know, please clean up after your dog.
Yes, don't leave a dump in my yard.
Yeah, so you know, you're out walking, that sort of thing. There's some pathways kind of in between all the different buildings and whatever. But
right.
Yeah, if there was like grass that was like, you kind of tell that they were keeping that up and they kind of had their own little garden, we avoided that.
Yeah, if there's a
we're
nice
like
lawn.
We're truly going in like just open green space. Yeah.
That's usually the way that I try and handle it. Now, I don't restrict my dog. I'll let him go kind of where he wants.
Do you have the loose leash, like where you hit a button to tighten it, or is he
no.
a standard leash?
Standard leash. I don't have the
How
loose.
How long is the leash?
It can. We got one that goes around the waist, so you can make it super short if you want, or you can kind of extend it out to, I don't know, 8 or 9 feet. Mm. So it can go longer, it could go shorter, depending on the situation. I won't let him go on a night. Like, if I see somebody that I could see takes care of their property and is a vigilant watcher of their yard and their front aesthetics, I won't let him go to the bathroom there. Mm. But there's also a lot of yards where you don't care, and
you can
so
tell
I'm not going
whack
to care. Why am I caring? Why am I restricting my dog from taking a dump on your lawn that I will certainly pick up? You haven't mowed in a month and a half.
Yeah.
It's up above my ankle. There's weeds everywhere. There's patches. You're not taking this seriously.
I hear what you're
my
saying.
My dog's taking a piss in your grass.
Okay?
I'm not yanking him back in that spot.
I'm not mad at you for doing that, but I largely am a wait till we get to the park or the sure. patch of grass that nobody owns off somebody's yard.
Nothing like a good where can the dog go potty debate. That's what the mail sack brings to you. That's why Sparta TRT is here, baby. Let's go. Another one. Mail sack, how far back would you have to go in humanity to be the best athlete on the planet in your respected sport? 1940s, 1930s, 1920s, 1800s, or even earlier? Eventually you would, but how far back would you have to go?
I nowhere for me.
If I put you in the 1920s playing basketball, you don't think you could school some guys?
No. What about bowling?
Who was playing basketball in the 1920s? Did it even exist in the 1920s?
It did.
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah, tall first.
People taller than me.
That was 1939, brother. Okay?
No.
That's a whole different generation.
They were growing up in the 20s.
No.
What was the average height of an NBA player in the 19... What was the professional league in the 1930s? Wasn't the NBA, was it?
It's all white.
Some
capacity. That's my point. So you got there's an advantage immediately.
The answer to this, honestly, is I think if you dropped me in the 30s, I could be a top five player in league history.
In the NBA?
And I think I have the same opinion as 99% of anybody else out there that plays basketball right now.
They did play professional basketball in the 1930s. It was not called the NBA. They had leagues like the American Basketball League, the ABL, the Midwest Basketball Conference.
You'd be training me everywhere. I would be an exhibit. Look at this person, the way he dribbles.
He knows how to dribble between his legs.
What is this witchcraft?
He can shoot threes.
Dude, he's dribbling and he's going to the side. He's not even going forward or backward.
I think you're shortchanging yourself just a hair here, Swagger.
Well, I don't
just
know
a
if
hair.
He's shortchanging
I'm not,
himself.
I'm not athletic. Yeah. I was never fast. I was never quick.
What?
I know. I wanted to see, like, what was the average height?
You don't think you could bowl, like, better than anybody
dude,
in the 20s?
There had to have been somebody with you.
Were they even bowling in the 20s? Were they bowling?
Oh, yeah.
Bowling.
They were doing those little handballs. They weren't even throwing regular bowling balls. Imagine you showing up with a 14-pound ball.
Dude, you could have hit Babe Ruth in his 74-mile-an-hour fastball. Get out of here.
You are shortchanging yourself a little bit. We've evolved.
Okay. I don't know. I put on the goalie gear. We had a reunion indoor soccer game yesterday from, like, our original team from, like, 20 years ago.
How'd you do?
Some reflexes were still there. I made a few good saves, but I haven't been this sore in a long time.
Do you know the photo of Marty and Doc when they go to the Old West and they find the photo, but the clock tower hasn't been established yet? That would be me if you dropped me in the 20s. You'd find a history book and my shorts would be at my knees, not 9 feet above them.
What's this guy doing? He's wearing pants out here. I can't believe this.
Oh, my God.
Dude, the average height of a professional basketball player estimated in the 1930s, 6'2".
That's me.
Now, I couldn't do it. I'm still tiny.
That's me.
But that's you.
Dude,
the average height of the
maybe
league.
Maybe I could have been a dominant four.
This is what I'm saying.
Like, I would break their brains doing a Euro step.
You boxing out playing like Bill Laimbeer, they've never seen anything like it before, okay?
They'd be like, why are you shooting so far? I said, just give me 3 points and shut up. And they'd be like, 3 points? What are you talking about?
You throw me in the 1920s Major League Baseball, I could hold my own. I can hold
my own. You could hold your own?
Dude, they weren't throwing more than 80 miles an hour. Guys,
hold on.
It was a bunch of slow whites.
Baseball's a little different than basketball.
No, it was not. It's slow whites who didn't throw that hard. There was like seven teams.
Yeah,
get
but they were throwing
here.
Spitballs back then.
There were like 49-year-old starting pitchers who threw 372 innings a week. Get out of here. I could hit that. That's AAA Legion ball now. I can hang.
could you hit Triple A Legion Ball right now?
No, not right now, but we're talking prime of my career. Prime days. Put me in my prime days. Send me back there. I can hang my own in 1920s.
I'm surprised you didn't go NFL 1915.
NFL would never work. I'm still too tiny. NFL wouldn't pop for me.
I have a picture signed of Josh Wilcox's dad, mm-hmm. Dave.
Yeah. NFL Hall of Famer.
NFL Hall of Famer, yes, RIP. It's a picture of him in a Niner uniform. I look at that and I do laugh because I'm like, that man would literally murder me if he could catch me on the
phone. It's Hall of Famer right there.
He looks nuts.
But that's still, even when did his dad play in the pros? 1960s, I think, right?
I think 60s, so, yeah.
70s, I think. Yeah.
Like, we're talking the 90s, you know, that's 40 years earlier.
I know. You know. So if I put you like 1921 NFL... Or whatever the league
whatever
was.
Whatever the equivalent of the football league
you
was.
You wouldn't be able to be, they'd be like,
at that point, it was.
The quarterback's running? What's he doing?
I think they used it. It used to be rugby, essentially. Yeah. Right? You just run like the wing tee. That's why I'd go baseball. Team. Put me in baseball in the 1920s. I'm hitting 312.
Didn't Babe Ruth play in the 20s?
Yes. And his fat ass probably threw 78 miles an hour.
But,
okay?
Like, why didn't anybody else playing then? Like, I think you're poo-pooing baseball.
I'm not poo-pooing
too much here.
Go back and watch any sort of Ken Burns documentary and look at those 5'10 fat asses.
But basketball,
around.
They literally dribbled like Stanley in The Office. They had one arm back and one arm forward. If I came out there with both arms, if I did an AI crossover and then Euro step to finish, they would be like, that's illegal. Yeah. There's no way that's allowed.
It's the alley-oops. First time we've ever seen this before.
It really would be like the Tropic, the Flint Tropics.
Mail sack question. If you were armed with any sword of your choosing in a battle to the death, what animals do you like your chances against and which do you not? I mean, there's a lot of them I like my chances against. How aggressive of a predator are we talking here, right? Like little bunny rabbits
I'm
coming after you?
I'm assuming they
like
are talking
raccoons.
About
raccoons. I'm assuming we're talking predators. Yeah.
So, like,
once you get to a moose, I think I'm done.
Yeah, moose you could not handle.
Buddy, you couldn't handle an elk.
With a big sword?
You couldn't handle a deer
you just
that was
hold it.
Starting
just
to grow its antlers.
They just charge at you. Hold the sword out.
No.
What, are they dodging it? They don't know what they're running into.
The minute you whiff
are dumb.
Is the minute they jump all over you, break your wrist. Now you've dropped the sword.
What
now you're in their
the,
dojo.
What's the old Heath, the old sport they used to do on the horses?
Jousting.
Oh,
jousting.
You just joust with your sword.
But
that's
if
it.
You miss... Well, that miss costs
well, if
you
they
everything.
Miss me, then they're missing the sword. They're missing me. Yeah.
So
they're
like,
running by me.
Have you ever looked up a
turn
golden
around and go
eagle?
Again.
The golden eagle is the bird that is seen in the video dragging like the lifeless deer looking thing over the cliffs. Have mm-hmm. you seen that?
No, I've not.
You've not seen that video?
No.
It's insane. The golden eagle, for example,
massive, pretty big,
a
bird.
7'7" wingspan.
That's pretty big,
and it's got talons bigger than your fingers.
I would hope so.
Look up this video. There's a golden eagle video. It finds, it's like a deer of some sort, like some kind of animal that looks like a deer. It's literally holding it by its head, flying over a canyon. It's insane. That bird, no chance. So, like, what's just below that?
Oh, God, this sent me back to Facebook now.
A bald eagle? I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's a full-sized deer, and it just goes flying.
And it's just
see
dragging
you later,
it.
Buddy.
You know what it does? It picks it up, and it drops it down the cliff so it kills it and then goes and eats it. It's like calculated murder.
I'm not taking that thing out.
It's nuts.
Well, because that you would miss, because that thing you'd have to swat at as it's flying
but
at
I think you. Are
I need something on the ground.
You're underestimating the ability of like a juvenile antler-growing deer to just scare the crap out of you, even with a sword. I think you think you're more stable.
How long is my
but
sword?
But I think if I have a sword, I'm like prepared for it.
Yeah.
Like,
how long's your sword?
How long are we talking?
Because I don't think you can wave a sword as much as you
it
think you can.
It says a sword of your choosing. So how long of a sword are you picking? Because the longer, the heavier. Now,
that's
would
true.
You, do you want to lean
you got like
fighting
Excalibur
machine?
Out there?
Run. I've seen you try to squat 180 pounds, brother. You ain't waving some 4-foot sword. You need a prison shiv. That's what you need.
Up close personal fighting.
Up close personal. Look at him in his eyes.
This
as he
guy
bleeds
a bayonet.
Out.
That's all he needs, baby.
Dude, that's all you would be able to use. You with a sword, you'd be like, ugh, and you'd miss, and he'd jump on you.
That's a valid point. Valid argument.
It'd
on your
be
part.
Over.
My only contention is the jousting angle. You hold that thing forward.
Rabid
you
dog.
Run at me.
Dog foaming at the mouth
with
rabies.
I could take out a rabid dog.
You guys are nuts.
I could take out a rabid dog.
You guys so overestimated. This is
and
you.
I hit Babe Ruth.
Yeah, you hit Babe Ruth as you kill a rabid dog.
He's throwing 64 miles an hour.
It's ridiculous.
We do faster than that. JV, dude, get out of here.
That's so ridiculous.
More mail sack, more Sparta TRT mail sack next on the fam. A lot of thoughts coming in, hot and heavy, as they always do on the mail sack. I think Dirt is underestimating how fast pitchers threw back in Babe's era. Nah, we
can. I think you are poo-pooing baseball. I know basketball sounds a little braggadocious.
It's really the only one that I could do, because football, I'm not big enough. Like, I'm still short and fat in any era that I go back to. That doesn't change for me. So basketball, like, you guys have the argument of being 6 foot tall, and all of a sudden you're big in basketball.
Or your normal size.
Yeah, I don't have the ability of normal size.
Sure.
I'm not going back to golf and playing with wood clubs. No, thank you.
I was
going to
say, what about golf?
I have a hard enough time hitting the modern equipment, let alone old equipment. That's really the only one I got.
But what if you took your clubs back and they had no idea what you were using, and all of a sudden you just bust out the driver on one?
If I could take my modern equipment with me
and it goes 300 yards,
still not
yards.
Winning, but I would maybe wow them a little bit with some drives.
Well,
every
you
now
need
and
the
then.
Modern golf ball too, that's not made with bird feathers and whatever they were.
I also will ask this now, maybe this is a dumb question, I certainly can ask those because I'm an idiot. How did we know how fast guys were throwing in the 1920s? We didn't have radar guns then, did we?
It was all, I mean, it's guessing.
It just seemed like it was fast.
Probably it has to be the mid-70s,
When did the radar gun become a thing? When did we invent the radar gun?
90s at some
point. I would think, though, if there was actual footage in real time.
Can you go back and superimpose the speed?
Well, no. I mean, all you need is a stopwatch. You can, when it left its hand to when it crossed the plate, how much time distance, and you compute miles per hour from there.
This says, when was the baseball radar gun invented? It came first adapted by the sport in 1974.
Oh, wow.
So it's like,
okay.
I'm sure, you can go back.
What if we found out Babe Ruth was throwing like 61?
Scrap everything from the record books. Anything pre-1950 should get scrubbed from everywhere. Hall of Fame, all of it. Scrub it. Scrub it all.
Except Jackie.
He counts.
Jackie's
breaking the color barrier deserves to be it.
You gotta be it.
That's the other part of playing in the 1920s, dude. It's
like,
a bunch of
fat
white guys.
Like, what if we found out Babe Ruth's fastball was legitimately 71?
I mean, I know
71.
That it wasn't. I just laugh at the idea of, like, these guys used to throw 100. No, they didn't. No, they did not. They threw 8,000 innings a year. There's no way they were pumping 98 miles an hour.
Do you remember
without modern workout or tech, like, there's no chance.
His diet was Coke and hot dogs.
Yes, he just drank beer and ate food all the time. He was a fat ass.
Do you remember the baseball scene in Hook?
Yes.
When he convinces...
Run home Jack.
Yeah, run home Jack. When Schmee is pitching...
Schmee!
I feel like that's how they all pitched in the 20s. And I'm just like, that
run
guy...
Run home Jack. Run home Jack.
Like, if you go rewatch how Schmee
they're
pitched,
all Schmees back then,
just
dude.
Like the wind-up, weird...
It's like you playing back in the day in the basket. You're playing against plumbers. You can take a plumber down on the block.
Look, I will poo-poo...
Give him a dream shake.
The 1920s basketball player, I'm going to have to poo-poo this a little bit. I don't think they would know how to process a Euro step.
Mail sack question is our Sparta TRT mail sack rolls on. Describe your favorite taco. Mine is a street style carnitas pork, light onion, and cilantro with tomatillo salsa with a kick.
My wife's. Steak.
I like
cilantro,
chicken.
Onion,
I like
the
a little
seasoning
chicken.
She uses for
that's
it.
That's how she cooks them. Yeah.
Corn tortilla, street taco size.
Uh-huh. That's what she cooks.
Carne asada, street taco, white onion, cilantro,
little hot sauce. We're good. I don't need I don't need much more, man.
That's it, huh?
That's all I need.
That's all you need.
Yep.
I'm gonna go. I was looking for our.
Wow.
A little hairy. You never want those in there. A little chicken, street taco, probably. Now, I don't make good street tacos, but I like, when I buy them, I like street tacos the best. Street taco, chicken, cilantro, onion. And then I'm okay with whatever kind of sauce you want to put in there.
Anything
you can mix up the sauce with me.
Make you not want to eat something more than when you see, like, the feather hair at the end of a wing.
That's
side note.
Quick. That's pretty quick.
When I see that,
pretty
I just...
quick turn down. Like,
I kind of just like, nope. I'm not in a wing mood anymore. I'm like almost out on the rest of the wings.
They're still clucking.
Yeah. You gave me the cheapest frozen one possible.
That wasn't like a cluckless properly bird. Plucked.
Yeah, dude. Crispy skin everywhere. No unplucked feathers. Like, please, can you give that to me? If you do, I'm out. If I see it, I legitimately will not want to eat anymore.
Mail sack, you can only watch one for the rest of your life. Track, human NASCAR, or NASCAR. Track does not include field, only the running events.
Wait, so, okay, so.
Human NASCAR or car NASCAR? Do you want to watch people racing or cars racing? You can only watch one for the rest of your life.
I mean, I'm always kind of leaning the human racing element to see how fast people are. And there is a lot to actual car racing. It's not just turn left, car go fast. Like, you got to maneuver. You got to know when to pass.
The Indy 500 had a hell of a finish this week, I saw.
It did. 0.02 seconds. It's
closest
finish.
Ever, right?
Closest ever.
Do we have the play-by-play cut of that?
No? I forgot to get that. I said I was going to get it.
That was the
on
only
me.
Cut I asked for.
Sorry.
Yeah, they paid respects to Kyle Busch this weekend.
Very tragic what happened to him.
Very tragic.
Sepsis is at the...
Yeah,
so he basically had
severe
pneumonia.
Pneumonia turned into sepsis. And
it's a good reminder of, like, go to the doctor, you know? Because it seems like it could have been preventable, right, as a takeaway from the medical pros.
Well, he asked for medical care when he felt...
He did, but it didn't feel like he fully got... He needed, like, an IV.
I don't know if people really understand, like, the difference between, oh, I'm not feeling good versus... I might be on the brink of something, and I don't know what the difference there is.
That's fair. That's fair. I would take human racing.
Yeah, like
if I had to watch one, I'll take. Give me the Olympic 100 meter for like whatever. I'll take watching those over watching any NASCAR.
Plus, you got some relay. The relay races can be.
Yeah,
fun.
The relay races are cool.
You got the steeplechase.
Yeah.
With the water jump and all that nonsense.
I'm probably not watching that one, but the other ones I'll watch.
What's the one lap around? Is that the 15?
No, it's 400.
The 400. I like the 400.
400, one lap all the
way
around?
It's a full lap. Like, if you can get me at the 100 where you're just, it's your sprint, that's pretty special, right? But there is something about, it's a little more to get that full lap in that I'm into.
It actually reminds me, and I promise we'll continue the sack in a second, there was something that got openly mocked over the weekend, and it was a runner. So did you know the enhanced games happened this weekend?
The steroid enhanced games brought to you by Peter Thiel.
So it's just
Thiel,
like,
and Donald Trump Jr.
They were the ones that paid for the enhanced games?
$25 million.
That sounds
they were going to push human capability to the brinks of something we've never seen before.
Then they just, like, I'm trying to pull up the time because I saw it, but it wasn't anything over... out of this world, was it?
They
the
only broke one world record.
It was
of
a swimming one, right?
And they already announced they're not going to recognize it.
Well, of course not.
And they found that it was also, I think they studied the time of most of the events, and on average, it was like 0.2 seconds better. It made actually people realize how truly special
the actual
non-steroided athletes are.
Yeah, there was a goal. There was a somebody had the goal of breaking the running record in the 100 meters, and they ended up running with a time of 9.97, which is fast, but it's not.
But it's not like...
Usain Bolt's world record 100-meter sprint is a 9.58. So you're almost a half a second
behind
Well,
people
it.
Would speculate that he...
I mean, he might have, sure. I'm sure a lot of them have.
But still, man.
The whole point of this is we're juicing you to the point of, like, you're a dominant athlete, and they still can't come close to it.
Like, do you remember... I still remember one of my best Olympic memories is watching Michael Johnson in the 96.
I'll never forget it.
The gold shoes... I believe they clocked him officially at 26 miles per hour.
Yeah, was that in the 200 or the 100?
I think it was the 100.
Because I think his 200 was...
Was it the 2?
He set a world record in the 200, and that does that still stand?
It
I know the
might.
100 doesn't,
I'll
but
look
his
it up.
200 record...
Might still stand?
Yeah, because I think he might have been going faster coming off that turn.
I think you might be right.
Is there anything steroid? I mean, I don't even know if there's anything steroid related that I would actually want to watch.
Home runs,
but we yeah, but you got to. But again, you have to be a world class hitter in order to do it, right? So just like your average run of the mill guy taking juice isn't going to make you hit a ball 500 feet. Do you turn your hips? Do you square it up? Do you have good hand eye coordination?
It was like, the 200. He ran 23, so I don't know why, but I had 26. But he ran 23 miles per hour in the 200. I'll never forget that. That was crazy.
Like, if you give me big leaguers on the juicing, and I'm not upset about it because it gave us some of the most entertaining years of Major League Baseball. But like run of the mill, like if I started a steroid baseball league with washed up baseball players, you're not watching that.
I also thought
it was like the new banana ball.
Well, Savannah Bananas are selling out.
They are everywhere they go because it's fun and entertaining and they're dancing. And like, I still think it's dumb and I wouldn't want to go, but that's, you know, I get why it's a thing that people are entertained by. The steroid stuff, like I remember that being a jokey segment we did and they announced it and I didn't know who was behind it. And
I had forgot it was happening.
I did too. I didn't know it was taking place. Then I saw the headlines out of it this weekend. I'm like, that's dumb. That's to not even break any records. You got to at least come. You got to announce your presence with authority if you're juicing but to that level and they didn't.
The problem is it's like, you know, fighting, you can get away with this in fighting. It's too, that event's too gimmicky.
Yes.
There's something about organized structure or leagues of these events that is like, it makes it feel far more validated.
Right.
If you tell me, oh, I'm doing the steroid games, we're going to crush all the records. I'm like, it's gimmicky. If you break the record in the Olympics or you break a record in sport, baseball, basketball, football, there's something more validating about watching that happen versus this kind of sideshow, it's circus,
yeah,
you know, carnival barker type deal. And I'm just, I don't really care.
It's the yak woman out there.
I mean, a little bit. It's the bearded woman thing. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not for everybody. For some people, it mattered.
She makes a great chili.
I didn't know this was happening. I don't even know what channel you watched this on.
I had no idea.
I just saw a post about how, like, they only broke one world record barely.
Disappointed.
And
man,
it's not even gonna count.
Hey, guys, next, let's dial up the dose. Okay, let's see. Let's take this to the limit. Mail sack question. I went to Hawaii on Memorial Day, learned that when folks swim around 250 yards out from the shore, emergency response folks check on that person and see if they're okay. My question to Swag, when you're swimming around 500 weird yards out, did anybody check on you to see if you were okay?
No. But I wasn't at a public beach.
Ooh.
You have a private beach in Hawaii?
Well,
he's got his own spot.
There's public, like if you're in Honolulu, right? I mean, there's lifeguards there that are sitting around.
On the Waikiki Strip?
Yeah. But if you're often, you know,
you're
condo
in the North Shore of Oahu. Yeah,
sure.
There's just locals.
There's just locals.
Right.
Big giant waves. I did not go swimming 500 yards out on the North Shore.
Oh, okay.
That would be foolish.
But you did go 500 yards into the ocean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 500 yards into the Mediterranean here in a month. They're swimming with the porpoises.
I mean, it is. It's an all-time bad
Out of the Italy trip, can we get one thing? One thing only?
One photo of you.
I want one photo of you swimming out as far as you feel comfortable in a body of water and Lady Swag taking a photo of you.
We will do that. That
and just like, here he is. This is how far out. And then we can do the 1920s mile per hour. let's calculate how far we think it is. We need the conversion rate and, you know, 100 meters. What are we talking here? How far out are we?
500 yards. That was just such an insane distance to throw out. You could have said 200, and I might be like, all right, that's pretty far.
That seems like a long ways, but all right, maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah,
you know, 500 is nuts.
It's like thinking you could hit Babe Ruth. Mail sack question. This is tough, but what is your favorite pizza place in Oregon? We'll close with this one. Side question, have you been to Paddington's in Salem? Because it's great. I have not.
I've been to Paddington's. It is the rivalry of Wallery's down in Salem.
Ooh, we got a pizza beef down there?
That's a hotly contested pizza beef down there. I enjoy both, to be honest.
It's like a Pat's and Geno's thing in Philly with the cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. They serve similar styles.
Okay.
It's the same style of pizza. Their pepperonis do the cup stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the cupped pepperoni. This is a tough question.
I'm going to go with, there's a new one that just opened in the neighborhood that happens to serve the exact kind of pizza that I love. You know me. I'm a big slice.
You're a New York slice.
New York style, big slice, folded over sandwich. I'm happy as a clam.
Yeah.
There's a place called Dick's that just opened up in the neighborhood that actually replaced a old pizza place that was there and then shut down, and now they're back in a new pizza place.
I love
been there the last two Fridays.
Yeah, I love like a burger place replaces a burger place.
Yeah, because then it's easier. You don't need to change anything out, really.
Yeah, the kitchen just got to, you know, give
there's already
good
a pizza oven in here.
Well, the funny thing is, Sukanik texted me like a week ago. He was over in my area, and we had a Dairy Queen randomly close.
That was always hurt.
It's becoming a Mexican restaurant, but they're not changing anything. They're just changing the sign.
Oh. They got to serve ice cream?
You give me a blizzard with a burrito, and I'm a happy little boy.
I'm not upset about that.
I'm a happy baby.
I'm a happy little boy.
Swag,
favorite pizza spot? We got to go.
I'm fence-sitting. We have too many pizza friends out there.
There's too many good ones
out there.
There's too many good ones.
There's not enough, like, independent pizza places over in my neck of the woods.
A lot of chains, more so.
There's a lot of chains.
Yeah, you got a Schmitza right next to you.
There's a Schmitza. There's a Bellagio's. If I'm getting something, I'm partial to Bellagio's in the area.
I like Bellagio's.
We need more pizza places need slices to go.
Yeah.
Is what I concluded this weekend.
Yeah, I'm a big slice to go. Like walking through, just like, I just want to grab it. Can I get a $5 slice? Boom. In and out.
We need more slices to go. Not everybody
wants
a whole
pizza.
Because
you can eat it and walk it, too. You don't even have to sit down.
Yeah.
It's a good food on the go.
Yeah.
There you go. The Sparta TRT mail sack. Whether you're hitting the gym, just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge. Win at the second half of life, SpartaTRT.com. Let's put a bow on the show. And we got game 5 of the Western Conference Finals tonight. How do we think it goes? We'll wrap it up next. 105.1 FM, The Fam. Well, we got one series still going in the NBA. The other one's over. Congrats on the Knicks. First NBA final since 1999. Long time ago. What were you doing in 1999?
Prepping for Y2K.
Getting ready.
Had to get ready for that. You didn't know if that zero was going to do anything to anything.
Chatting on A-Messenger, you know, letting the honeys know I'm going to be out. Won't be talking to you for a while.
Yeah, 99, I would have been in middle school. So, yeah, definitely AIM chatting.
Yeah, AIM chatting was a thing. Swag, 99. I walked in and Swag, I said, hey, Swag. He just nonchalant me walking away. Says, I'm old. That's just, you're asking you what you're doing in 1999. Yeah. Reminded me of that pre-show interaction.
No, I was.
I'm assuming that was based on your soccer soreness is why you said that? Okay. Yeah. Now that I have the full picture, it makes more sense.
I was contemplating, my lot in life with my previous...
Still working at the old job, right, 99?
I was working at the old job,
and the old finance
secretly
world.
Trying to watch porn as the internet was like...
See if you can get some muffled channels on HBO late at night. Find a way.
Shut up. Show me your tease.
Watching South Park for sure.
1999, man. It's a better time. Better time.
I remember watching the 99 finals with the Spurs.
I do too.
And them getting to the finals as an 8 seed... It feels a lot different than this team winning 11 straight by the widest point differential in playoff history. I mean, look, you guys can think I'm wrong on this and you can have a differing take. I continue to have the opinion if OKC wins, I think they win the finals. If the Spurs win, I'm betting the Knicks to win the finals.
I mean, you get great odds, first off. There's the unknown of a young team who's never been there before, right? Like, that's always a thing until you prove it wrong. Where are we at, by the way? Speaking of which, I mean, look, it was always the better series. It's been a better series the entire time. I try and watch as much stuff as humanly possible because I know we're going to talk about it on the show, whether I care about it or not. I didn't go anywhere near game four yesterday. I had no desire to. It's a Sunday. It's the end of the, or a Monday. Yeah. There's a good hockey game on at the same time. Like, if it's close in the second half, I'll turn it on.
Game three sucked too.
And I watched a chunk of game three and I'm like, why am I doing this? This is stupid. The Knicks are clearly going to win this series. Can we get it over with? And thankfully they did. They didn't lengthen it out. Shout out to the Knicks for that.
But game four of this series sucked.
It did, but it was captivating for another reason of damn San Antonio blew them out. After losing game three on their home floor, shut them down. Yeah. So for that reason and the fact that we had a tied series, I didn't watch all the way till the end because the game was, I think I was up walking around doing other stuff. Where are we at on this series? OKC's now the favorite in tonight's game back at home. 4.5.
Is Jalen and A.J. Mitchell playing?
A.J. Mitchell is out. Jalen Williams questionable in the latest injury report.
If neither play, I'm taking Spurs.
If we find out about just J-Dubs playing?
I could see the Thunder winning. Look, I it's hard in a 7-gamer. It's much like the regular season. We react to so much, but it's only one game.
San Antonio wins game one. Here we go. And then OKC bounces back and wins two.
We didn't react to game three. We were off the air. Well, then we get a game four, and it's a blowout for the Spurs. So we come in. What are we thinking? Well, we're thinking blowout Spurs. Wemby has been the best player in the series.
Yes, he has.
First of all, let's just establish that. That half-court shot he hit as if it was like a running free throw.
I mean, he's essentially the best. He's almost in this postseason becoming the best player in the NBA.
I think you could say he is, and I'm totally fine with that.
Is this game the series?
Yes.
Ooh.
I think it is.
You don't see either one winning two in a row who loses tonight.
If the Spurs win, I have a hard time seeing them.
You win game six in San Antonio and then come back home for a game seven?
I mean, game seven, anything, right? But I think tonight the winner wins the series.
Interesting.
Do you not agree?
No, this series is kind of like every time I feel like a team has momentum, it zigs and zags on me. Like San Antonio was like, oh my God, they won game one and they didn't have Fox and the Thunder are a little banged up and then the Thunder bounce back and win game two and then they take game three and then you're like, okay, well now the champs have kind of established themselves and I know injuries have changed kind of maybe some of the fundamental feeling of the series and then you get San Antonio blowing them. Right when I think OKC's got them kind of by the balls in the series, San Antonio beats them by 20 on their home floor. So I have a hard time getting a feel either way.
82% of the time, the team that wins game five wins
that's
the series.
A big clip. I think I'm going Spurs money line tonight.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I think I'm going Spurs money
line. Look, when you don't have J-Dub and A.J. Mitchell out there, they're a really good team. How about we start acting or calling out Chet Holmgren here?
Yep.
He's averaging like 10 points a game.
It's been really bad.
It's one thing for Wemby to dominate you and do really well against you. I get that. Nobody is holding you against that. He's not a factor.
No.
In any way.
No.
So, like, everybody's like, they're going to trade J-Dub. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Maybe Chet's the guy you move. Although Wemby is unique, but Wemby's not going anywhere in
the
West.
That's the
other part of it.
And Chet, well, he's a great defense player. Yeah, he's always going to be the second best one if that guy is healthy.
Hartenstein's been significantly better against Wemby. Not that he's doing a ton, but he's just been. He's a bigger body.
Because Wemby's more physical than Chet.
He's more physical.
He wants it.
I thought there was actually a good point by Draymond, which I don't say very often. I saw a clip of his thing where he was talking about Wemby having to learn that this is just the way that the world's going to work for you. And he went through kind of the stuff with Steph when he started breaking through. Well, essentially, like, he complains a lot about getting grabbed and people being physical with him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, dude, this is the way it's going to go. Yes. Like, in the playoff, like, and he used Steph as the example early in his career and coming off those screens and guys grabbing him and pinching him and doing everything. And eventually, Steph figured out how to work around it and get his shots up and kind of evolve his game.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been moments where Wemby seems... not a ton of them, but he seems a little, like, you know, hot and bothered, and he's getting emotional, and it's like, mm-hmm. dude, this is just, what do you think they're going to, you're 7'5". Like, how do you think they're going to defend? That's the only answer to stop you, is to be overly physical, and we all know this time of year, you fouling on every play. You're not calling a foul on every play. You're going to get a lot of whistles, but not every single one of them, and so be as physical as you can be.
I think the scary thing is just, how does his offensive game develop and grow?
It's terrifying.
It is terrifying because he took a step this offseason. He went and trained with Shaolin monks, and then he also got footwork instruction from Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
So, like,
Hakeem should be banned from working
with
him.
Well, who does he work with next? Yeah. Dirk? On the one-step fadeaway when he shoots the ball 9 feet above everybody?
Just start doing Kareem
skyhooks.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, talk to Kareem.
I would call Kareem.
If he got a skyhook, nobody could stop him.
Yeah, you just practice it all summer.
Because if you watched Kareem back in, like, Kareem would go 15 feet out on the baseline and still shoot that.
Yep.
Because guys are going to get physical and push him out of the paint. But if he can develop the sky hook out to 15 feet, now it doesn't matter.
I mean, this is just such a unique player in the league's history where we're in the same conference and... you know, OKC is still a wagon. I don't expect them to fall off if they lose the series. I think they tweak and they're right back in the conversation here. But when we're talking about it from our vantage point, this is the most defeated it's felt in how long?
Quite a while.
It's one thing to not be
KD
the best
Warriors.
Team. KD Warriors probably, right?
But they didn't have... an absolute unicorn that was 20 years old that was as good as...
the, like, staying power wasn't the same as this is this guy's first run at this whole thing.
And it already
looks
easy.
He might win the chip.
It already looks easy.
I mean, we talk about Duncan won a title in 99, his second season.
Yeah.
And that was a unique circumstance of he had a veteran like David Robinson with him. This guy's veteran is Harrison Barnes.
Or De'Aaron Fox.
Who had one playoff appearance prior to this year.
Right.
So if he does this with Harper and Castle, it's very terrifying to know that they could potentially win tonight, hoist the trophy in his first go-around of this. He's learning everything on the fly.
Yep, and it pains me to do it, but I think I'm going to bet Spurs money line tonight. By the way, can we shout out the horny camera guy in San Antonio?
You guys...
oh, I saw it.
Yeah.
He did it in Game 3, too.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't just Game 4.
The funny thing is...
He treated us to a gift in Game 3.
We were at the beach house.
Was the same people sitting behind Coach Johnson?
I believe so. They knew what they were doing. They capitalized.
The Notice Me trio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get a horny guy in OKC tonight. We get a horn dog scanning that camera around the arena.
We
noticed it at the beach house. We're like, oh, hello.
Oh, you're zooming in there. That ain't Mitchell Johnson, buddy.
Everybody in OKC wears the T-shirts.
That is true.
Yeah, they're boring in OKC.
Yeah.
A little more prude.
Your neighborhood.
San Antonio's a fiesta.
Charles Barkley had to walk some stuff back after that one. Your neighborhood restaurant group brings the fan poll question on X Everyday Dinner tonight at one of their five locations, Sandy O's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lower Horse Market Steakhouse.
What's the question?
Who did you want to be? The next Blazers head coach of your three options, Jeff Van Gundy, Micah Nori, or Tiago Splitter? Micah Nori won. Take the unknown over the known, I guess. 38.2%. Jeff Van Gundy second, 32.7%. And then Tiago, evidently our fan base is also very, very mean to Tiago Splitter. He will never forgive us. Only 29.1% of you voting for Tiago. There you go. Good little show. Is it over tonight in Vegas?
Yeah. McKinnon's banged up.
McCarr down.
3-0. How shocked are you right now?
Genuinely shocked.
Genuinely
shocked. Vegas, I mean, to Swag's point, Torts came in at the end of the... Vegas was just like, yeah, I mean, they're fine.
They were scuffling around. They were,
they can't lose. They're rolling everybody out.
Until they faced the Fighting
They
Duncans.
Were up three. Colorado jumped out on them 3-0 in Vegas in the first period.
They had one of the most dominant regular seasons in NHL history.
And they're
history.
Not even going to make the Stanley Cup final.
I'm going to scratch in the conference finals.
Yeah. That's why we love hockey, baby. That'll do it for us. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at Turton Sprague, at 1051thefan on Twitter. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harris Marangas. Next, listen to 1051 FM, The Fam.